चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेव गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी भाष्यतारे शतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So we continue to read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. It's the last section, some early pastimes. Okay, so we are in the section Zurich and New York, and this is New York, April 5th till 11, 1973. Radhavallabha. Seeing that it was such a hellish place, it was always wonderful when Prabhupada would come to Brooklyn. The neighbors, the Italians, hated us. Let me read that again. He says, because it's here, exclamation mark. He says, the neighbors, the Italians hated us, and the Puerto Ricans liked us, but wanted to rob us. You can already picture them smiling. Hey, arrivo. It was just an abominable, dark, filthy neighborhood full of hate. When Prabhupada would come, the devotees would fill the streets. They would line the steps of the Brooklyn Temple, all cheering with their arms in the air as Prabhupada would walk through. He was always pleased to come to Brooklyn to see all the devotees in that horrible place, to see the press, and to see the new paintings. He always appreciated seeing Radha Govinda offering his obeisances to them, leading kirtan and giving lectures in that Brooklyn temple. Teva Shakti. Myself and another book distributor were invited to go on a morning walk with Prabhupada. We went to the park. Brahmananda Swami and Bali Mardan were there. Prabhupada began the conversation saying, "I had a dream." So everyone was listening very intently. And Prabhupada continued, "I dreamed that we had a boat, and there were 25 of us on the boat, 12 sannyasis and 12 brahmacharis, and myself. We went all over the world, and in each port we had sankirtan." When Prabhupada described this ecstatic dream, Bali Mardan and Brahmananda Swami both began telling Prabhupada about their boat experiences. They said they were boatmen and would try to help Prabhupada, and he was pleased to hear it. Rukmini. One morning while he was walking in New York, Prabhupada picked a flower from a vine and brought it back to the temple. It was a fragrant white flower. When he picked it and smelled it, he said, "This should be planted all around our Mayapur complex." Later I took that flower and found out that the name of it was silver lace vine or fleece vine. So, should be planted all around Mayapur, the silver lace vine or the fleece vine, according to Rukmini. Pancharatna. I had just gotten videotape equipment, and it was the first time Prabhupada was videotaped. After we made the tape, we brought it in to show him. Yeah, normally they would have these video aids and stuff. This is 1973, so they had like a video camera. There was a lecture that Prabhupada gave in the temple. At the end of the lecture, he had gotten up and was looking at the deities during the kirtan. He was just about to leave when he became more attracted to the kirtan and started clapping and dancing. While this was happening, I had been there all the time with the cameras, zooming in and zooming out. Then we showed it to Srila Prabhupada, and he watched it very closely. When the kirtan part came on the tape, Prabhupada again started clapping and chanting. He said it was very nice. Janava. Prabhupada sat on his asana in his large reception room beneath the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Paintings were stacked all around the room to await his evaluation. Present were Jayadvaita, Muralidhar, Parikshit, Yadurani, Pushkar, a photographer, and myself. Yeah, so Yadurani, Pushkar, Parikshit, I think also Muralidhar, these are all painters. And Jayadvaita Swami, he's of course from the BBT. So he's also there because the paintings have to go in the books. Srila Prabhupada was very businesslike and fairly aloof. Later, upon reflection, it seemed to me that this aloofness by Prabhupada was actually a major step in weaning the art department away from his constant supervision and their habit of always asking him questions during his visits and by letters. So this is very interesting, no? So Prabhupada was very businesslike and very aloof. This is to give them more encouragement to do it by themselves. There was one painting of Lord Krishna who was sitting and looking very sad because he couldn't find Radharani. Prabhupada asked what the painting was, but then he objected and said, "Krishna doesn't lament." The artist, Jadurani, appeared very discouraged to have misrepresented Krishna. Prabhupada continued, discussing the other paintings, but then he turned to Jadurani and remarked, "It's all right. This painting can be used to show another pastime when Krishna had a headache." After Prabhupada discussed the various paintings, I then showed Prabhupada some drawings done by the Gurukul children. One picture was done by Saraswati Dasi. On one side of the paper, she had drawn a circle to indicate a face, two dots for eyes, a smile, and a peacock feather in the hair. On the reverse side of the paper, she drew fine dots. Her explanation was, if you hold the paper to the light, then you can see Krishna appearing in the universe. Wow. When Srila Prabhupada saw this picture and heard her explanation, he became thoughtful, thinking of Saraswati. If Saraswati would see someone, Prabhupada recalled, she would ask, "Do you know who is Krishna?" Then she herself would answer, "He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." As Prabhupada said this, he gestured by pointing his finger, indicating the strength of Saraswati's conviction. This. Nayan Abhiram. When Prabhupada came to New York in 1973, we were asked to put on a production of the Ramayana, so meaning a play. We had only one day to put it together. That was why we didn't use dialogue. We couldn't memorize the lines on such short notice. We performed for Prabhupada with gestures, and the dialogue was spoken off the stage. So somebody was reading and they were like miming it. The next morning, right after Mangalarti, I was asked to go see Prabhupada. It was still dark in his quarters and he was sitting in his back room. He asked me if I was responsible for last night's production. I didn't know how to answer because I didn't know whether he was going to chastise me or praise me. Then he said it was good, but he had some suggestions for improving it. He said that instead of one voice narrating, we should have a different voice for each character who was to speak. Also, there was a controversy over using a guitar or a sitar as musical accompaniment. Prabhupada said we shouldn't play the sitar if we didn't know how. It was better to play a guitar expertly than a sitar incompetently. So that makes sense. Radha Vallabha, Prabhupada was complaining that the books weren't coming out. Later on, someone came over to the press and said that Prabhupada had found a spelling mistake. It was a big mistake in the misuse of a single word. So I went and asked Prabhupada where the mistake was. He said, "I don't know." I think it was in that chapter there. So I pulled out all the flats and looked for it. He said, no, maybe it was that one. I pulled out more sheets. And he said, no, I think it was in that torn one. Then after I had pulled out all the sheets, he said, never mind, just print it. At that point, I could see that was Prabhupada's attitude towards his books. I could see he wasn't satisfied that we spent so much time trying to fix all the spelling and composing errors. In this case, he wanted to get the book out, even if it meant later he had to correct the mistake. Balavanta. Balavanta used to be in politics for Krishna consciousness, for ISKCON. He ran for mayor, I think, or something. I was in Atlanta, and we had just done political preaching by running for mayor of the city. There you go. Prabhupada called me to come to New York and see him. When I went into his room, he wanted to talk politics. He had different arguments. He said, so, what do they say? I said, Prabhupada, they say it is not practical. Our program is not practical. Prabhupada said, it is not practical because they will not take to it. Otherwise, it is practical. It is the only solution. Prabhupada said the rascals would not take it, and yet if they did, it would solve their problems. He said, we have no complicated political program, only one program. Our program is chant Hare Krishna. That's all. And if the people will meet together regularly and chant Hare Krishna, they will be successful. I will give Prabhupada all the arguments I had received, and he would always defeat them. Kirti Raj. I had to take Prabhupada to the Indian consulate to arrange that they grant devotees visas. In the conversation with the consul, Prabhupada raised his voice loudly and spoke strongly in Bengali. None of us had any idea what was being said except for the few English words throughout the conversation. But we could understand that he was speaking quite forcefully to the man. At the end of the conversation, Prabhupada told me to present the list of devotees going to India and arrange to gather their passports. He said that the consul agreed to grant them one-year visas. We finished the meeting and went out to the car. In the meantime, it had gotten dark and started to rain very hard. As we sat in the car, Prabhupada said, I spoke very strongly to him, didn't I? I agreed, and then Prabhupada looked at us again and said, yes, I can do this, but you cannot. He said, I am an old man. They don't take me seriously. But if you were to speak to someone who was older than you or your age, and if you speak very strongly, they will become offended. But I am an old man, so I can do this, but you cannot. Then, as we were driving to the rush hour traffic and the rain, I was nervous because Prabhupada was in the car. It was difficult to see because the windows were fogging over. I was thinking it was such nasty, horrible weather when all of a sudden Prabhupada turned to me and said, the rain is very pleasing. Without the rain, nothing on the earth could be. I was shocked because it was as if he were reading my mind. I had been cursing and condemning the weather, and Prabhupada turned to me casually and said the rain was nice. As we were driving, Prabhupada asked us if we had noticed what was written on the plaque as we entered the Indian consulate. Although we had all stopped and glanced at it, we all had to tell Prabhupada that none of us could remember. Prabhupada then said that an intelligent man notices all of his surroundings. He even notices how many beams are in the ceiling above his head. He said one time, one of his friends asked him, do you know how many cars there are in the Punjab Mail Express? Prabhupada said he told the man how many cars there were exactly, and that he was right. That's like a really long train. Another time, when Prabhupada was in New York, he went to see a building on Park Avenue for sale. We were thinking of acquiring it for the New York Temple. It was a very big building on the upper side of Park Avenue. We pulled up on the opposite side of the street in front of a small Spanish grocery store. We got out of the car and looked over at the buildings. The front doors of the buildings were open, and due to light from the front hall, A golden glow was coming out through the open doors into the evening darkness. Prabhupada said, "Ah, Sri Gauranga Hall." Prabhupada and Bali Mardan were speaking about the possibility of buying this building, and the next thing I knew, Bali Mardan hit me in the arm and said, "Prabhupada wants a 7-Up. I looked at Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, 7-Up? Prabhupada nodded, "Yes." But I repeated, "Prabhupada, do you really mean 7-Up? Again, he nodded, "Yes." I said, "You mean it's lemony with bubbles. Is that what you mean?" Prabhupada again said, "7-Up. So I went into the store and bought a can of 7-Up. I went out to the street and gave it to Bali Mardan, who popped open the top and gave it to Prabhupada. And as we stood there on Park Avenue in our dhotis, Prabhupada held the can up and poured the drink straight into his mouth without touching the can to his lips. When we drove back to the temple, it was the biggest story of the day. Prabhupada drank 7-Up on Park Avenue. So one side point about this consul, most probably Prabhupada was complaining that he should grant them the visas to his disciples. That's why probably he was so angry, you know. Prabhupada felt that the Indians were giving his disciples a hard time. But, you know, in the end, they gave him 1-year visa. That's very nice. Okay, Radhavallabha. We could always tell that Prabhupada was pleased that we were staying in that horrible place to preach his mission. We could always sense he felt New York was the important place to preach because he had first gone there, and that he was pleased that we were continuing where he had first brought Krishna consciousness to the West. A letter from Prabhupada to Kirtiraj and his wife, Hari Puja, and then we'll stop, from 1973. Okay, it's a short section. Pay close attention. You are one of the trusted managers of the New York Temple. I am very much glad to see that the standard of temple activities is so nice. So Krishna has given you American intelligence, and I think this New York City is the greatest city in the world. So all you managers cooperate together and do something gorgeous. That is my instruction to you. And if you can do it, Krishna will be very much pleased with you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jitai go premanande. Hari Hari Bol.
Right. Nine Abhiran. Yeah, chapter 64. Yeah.